19, verse 11. Came to pass as they went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So I want to try to preach on that simple thought tonight, amen. The grace or the giving of gratitude. I'll try to preach on that thought tonight, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us come back to church tonight. The singing has been once again absolutely wonderful, and we praise you for the good songs of God. Thank you for those that sang them, God, and Lord, their lives, Lord, our testimony to even what they sang. I praise you for that tonight. Please now help us, Lord. I sure need your help. I'm not here to entertain or be a performer. I just need you to help me. I pray, Lord, even as I preach, God, you speak to my own heart tonight, I pray. Thank you again for this good day and all you've done for us. And Lord, friends in Christ and brothers and sisters in the Lord that have been so good to us, we thank you for them. Help us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we well know, if you've been in church any length of time, when you read about leprosy, certainly leprosy is a type of sin. Amen. And so when the Bible talks about leprosy, there's quite a few illustrations about that that remind us of sin. Leprosy is a sickness that represents sin in many ways it does. And that thought, I don't think I could get by that thought without expounding on that a little bit, because that really illustrates what happened to this man. I think we got to really understand where this man was so we can understand the appreciation that he had. Amen. And so over in the book of Leviticus, it talks about leprosy. And I'm not taking a lot of time, but in chapter number 13 of the book of Leviticus, the Bible talks about leprosy in this sense. It starts small, but it ends up destroying you. That's exactly what sin does. Sin starts, you know, in the Garden of Eden, sin didn't start off with fornication. It started off with a piece of fruit. Amen. What got this whole world in trouble, amen, and we're all marching to the graveyard, was not some adultery or some drug addict, amen. It was because they took a piece of fruit that didn't belong to them. And so it starts off very small, amen. Matter of fact, in Leviticus 13, the Bible said in verse number 2, when a man shall have a skin of his flesh, a rise and a scab, a bright spot. Just a spot, amen. That's what it said, and it is in the skin of his flesh like a plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of the sons of the priest. And I'm not going to take a long time there, but I think that needs to be talked about to get to my message, amen. Sin starts off right, real small. And matter of fact, when he saw that spot, he went to the preacher. And he said, preacher, do you reckon this is leprosy? Here's, bring it up. Do you reckon this could be sin? Now, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a church full of people that when they did something real small, they'd come to the preacher or whatever and say, preacher, do you think this might be sin? Well, the first thing I do is pass out. Because most people are trying to see what they can get by with. But this man, when he got a spot, amen, he said, I better go to the priest and find out if this is really leprosy, because if it is, it's going to destroy me. So I see, first of all, that's the best point I got right there. First of all, it starts off very small, but it ends up disfiguring you and destroying you. Leprosy, amen, if not dealt with, amen, according to the Bible, we don't have time to do with that, it would end up destroying you or disfiguring you for certain. Amen and amen. So I see that number one, it was very small. It disfigured. It would take your nose off. It would take your ear off. It would take your fingers off. And I could go right on down and say a lot of things about it. Here's what I found out. It destroyed the nervous system. So when all this was happening, you wasn't even feeling it. Somebody help me now. Hope it gets better. Amen. So my point is, it starts off small, but it ends up destroying you. It brings about social problems. Leprosy brought about social problems, just like sin. What did it cause? It caused separation. When a man got leprosy, he even separated from his own family. It brought division in the family. Hey, not only that, it brought isolation. The Bible said in our text, it said that he had to stand afar off. So sin will separate you. I'm a little bit amazed at this. It caused you also to be an outcast. Do you understand that this man was a Samaritan and yet he's hanging around with Jews? Now here's my point. Sin or leprosy put them all in the same place. I know one time in the prison, we had a man in the prison that claimed to have gotten saved, and he was a professor at the Bible at the College of Charleston. And he was a millionaire. His daddy owned, I think, something like Burger King or whatever, but I do know this from other land. He was a millionaire. He came to our church after he got out of prison and visited us. And he was a wealthy, wealthy man, but he had got in sin, and as a result of his sin, he got put in prison. Well, he was put in prison with drug dealers and murderers and thieves and thugs. And even though he was one of the elite of our day, yet sin, leprosy, put him in the same place that these fellows were in. It's not uncommon for Jews and Samaritans to hang around together. But the reason they're together is leprosy has put them together. Somebody help me right there. So it brought about separation. It brought about isolation. It caused you to be an outcast. Amen. And also, I see also about leprosy in Leviticus 13 and 14, amen, it got in the walls of your house. That's what the Bible said, amen, over in the book of Leviticus 13, 1 and 2. It got in humans, Leviticus 14, 35, 38, 39. It would even got on the walls of your house. I remember one night St. Stephen was out visiting, knocking on doors, and a man invited me in. And the time I stepped in his door, I said, "There's sin in this house." How did you know? I looked at the walls. And what I saw on the walls told me that this is a house full of sin. Here's what leprosy did, just like sin. It gets in your house. And all you got to do is walk in somebody's house, amen, and you can tell whether the house got God in it or got sin in it. So it gets in the walls, it gets in humans, it gets in your house, amen, it gets in your clothes. Look in chapter 13. I think I better give you a text on this one. In chapter 13, look in verse number 6. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread in his skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Then look in verse number 47. Verse number 47 of that same chapter. The Bible said, and the garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be woolen garment or linen garment, whether it be in the warp or the woof or the linen or the woolen, whether it's in the skin or anything made of skin. My point is simply this. When leprosy got in your house, it would get in your garments. Amen. So sin, when it gets in our house, it gets in your heart, in your garments. So I'm telling you all this to get to my point. If y'all would help me. So then not only to get in your clothes, it gets in your company. In chapter 14, verse 46, the Bible said, moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that is shut up shall be unclean until the evening. If you went into a house that had leprosy in it, then it would defile you. My point is this, better be careful who you hang around with. Evil communication, corrupt good manners. I found this to be true. This is just the truth. Everybody in the building knows this. If you hang around with the wrong crowd, they probably going to pull you down. That don't mean we shun them, but it means we don't have fellowship with them. They'll have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Here's my simple point tonight. I'm not talking about we're better than anybody else. I'm just simply saying you can't hang around with the wrong crowd and come out doing better. Because sin, like leprosy, will get all over you. So I want you to see that to get to my point tonight, if the Lord help me. In Bible times, there was no known cure. If you got leprosy, the only help you got was God. And that's like sin. Is everybody listening to me? And by the way, this is Luke writing this text. He's a doctor. And that don't really make a difference, but it does. Luke knew what he was talking about. But we notice it's the Bible, so it would write whether Luke wrote it or not. My point is simply that it brought about restriction. It brought about rejection. It brought about repulsiveness. Amen. That's what sin does, just like leprosy does. Amen. As they went, the Bible said, they were cleansed. So the Bible said in our text tonight, as they went, because of faith, he said, they were cleansed. Now, what are you trying to say, preacher? I want to say the Bible said out of those 10, only one got it. Amen. It looked like the other 9 got it. But when it's all settled and done, he said in the last verse of our text tonight, he said when it's all done, he said this man was made whole. We're body, soul, and spirit. Nine got their bodies healed, but only one got saved. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just trying to say only one came back to give him thanks. Now I'm going to say this right up front. There's a lot of things you got to teach a new convert. But me personally, there might be some disagreement with this in the congregation. I don't think you have to tell a new convert the first thing's going to happen is he's going to get thankful. You don't have to teach him to be thankful. When he gets saved, he automatically is going to become thankful. Amen and amen. You might have to teach him how to tithe. You may have to teach him some things that we all know about, but you don't have to teach him to be thankful. Amen and amen. That tells me about a lot of people. As they went, the Bible said. So the Bible said what? The grace of gratitude. One time I preached on the 9. Where did the 9 go? But tonight we want to major on the 1. Jesus said, where are the 9? He's probably saying that today. Where are all the people that I've helped that have not returned to give me thanks? So the emphasis tonight is on the one. As I was studying this sometime a while back, I was reminded of a story that I heard. They said it was a true story. They said it was on the battlefield that they was having a battle, and the captain of that company saw one of his men wounded out on the front lines, beyond the front lines, and the Bible said the captain went out to the man to get him to bring him back to the company. And while he was rescuing one of his men in his company and bringing him back to safety, he got shot. And when he got back, the man that he brought back lived, but the captain died. And they said it was a true story. And some years later, the family of the captain who died found out who was the man that their son rescued. They found out who he was. And they got him an airplane ticket and flew him all the way to their house, put him in a motel, and the next evening, they brought him over to the house to celebrate the fact that he was alive, and it was their son that had created that deliverance. And so they said he come in, he was drinking, he sat down, he was very grumpy, he ate the supper, he was rude, he got up, he didn't give him any thanks, and he just walked out the house. And the mama of the captain said to her husband, to think that our son gave his life for somebody like that. I want to tell you about another captain. We was on the battlefield. And we were wounded and we were going to die. But the captain come to where we were and rescued us, amen, and got us back to safety. We would be just like that man if we didn't give him thanks. Amen and amen. I want to learn to live a thankful life. Amen and amen. Hey, be prompt. Point one, be prompt to give thanks. The Bible said in verse number 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So number one, be prompt to give God thanks. Amen. Delay diminishes gratefulness. Hey, we ought to be prompt to thank God for what he's done for us. Hence, be prompt to give God the thanks and the praise for what he's done. Hey, when you get rescued, amen, from leprosy and sin, there's no more separation. Amen. Hey, there's no more isolation. There's no more being an outcast. Think about that man. Can you think about that man when he got healed and he now, he hasn't been with his family? He's in a leper colony, but now he's been set free. Can you imagine him heading home? Amen. And now the leprosy's taken away. And mama sees the little girls see their daddy coming up the road. And they said, Mama, I think that's daddy coming up the road. And mama, he's got all of his fingers and he's got all his hairs and he's got his nose on. I imagine that hustler said, Well, isn't this something? Anybody listening? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just simply trying to say, hey, when you get saved, that, hey, it a lot of times puts the family back together. I know when me and my wife, amen, when my wife got saved and I wasn't saved, the night I got saved, it put our home back together. Amen. Thank God we kicked leprosy out the door, amen, and we got the Lord, amen. I'm just simply saying, separation's gone, isolation's gone, amen. Hey, I've met men in jail, they're in jail because of their sin, and they're not with their families. Amen. And then we've been able, thank God, and y'all too, we've been able to see some of those men in jail, amen, get saved, get out of jail, and put their families back together. What a one. A fellow texted us this week, and they come to the home and got saved, went back home, him and his wife got back together. He was fixing to go to prison when he come to our home, and he come to our home and got saved, and he was the most arrogant fellow when he got there. Probably of all the men that ever come, I figured he would never make it. I mean, not only he didn't like being there, he let us know he didn't like being there. I was telling him, I told Brother Jeff, if I was the director, I'd send him home. Brother Jeff said, well, I think we better bear with him. And that man ended up and got saved. And Brother Tommy Turner's church, he ended up and got saved. And he texts us all the time. And he was, the night we put out a film, if you want to call it that, of our home. And he's the one that's the convict in the home. And he got gloriously saved. He was headed to prison. And he come to our home and got saved. And God had dropped all the charges. Him and his wife got back together. Somebody help. And he texts us this week. And he said, I can't believe this Sunday, one of the men that counts the money was out. And the preacher asked me to help him count the money. He said, a convict that was headed to jail was counting church money. God, glory. Amen. Hey, that's what God does when he gets us out of sin. Why be happy? Yeah. Amen. 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 I'm just saying to you, hey, listen to this. Hey, can you imagine when this man got home and looked in the mirror?
Right, right.
And his ears is on, and his nose is on, amen, and his fingers is on. Amen. He probably looked at that mirror and said, well, ain't that something? And that's what most Baptists would do. I think if he was our kind of Baptist, he'd look at me and say, glory to God, amen. Hey, when God delivers us from sin, how can we help but thank him and praise him? That's why church ought to never be dead. Amen and amen. Well, preacher, I don't like a dead church. Well, make it alive. Amen. You waiting on somebody else. Did you get saved from leprosy? Did you get saved from sin? Well, you ought to stand up and say, your home back together. You're not in jail anymore. God's delivered you. Somebody help me, amen. I'm just sent to say, why thank him? Were we more thankful when we first got cleansed? You know the truth of the matter? It's what I thought about this. Thank God for new converts that get saved and get excited. And that's the way it ought to be. But they ought not to be more excited than we are. Well, here's what they know. They know the Lord can save you. Here's what we know. We know he can save you, supply your need, take care of you, answer prayer. We ought to be more excited than the new converts. Well, preacher, you would never see me standing up and thanking and praising God. Well, if your boy knocked a home run, you would. If he run a touchdown, you'd say, that's my boy, that's my boy. Hey, when he gets up and sings a song for the glory of God, or she gets up and sings a song for the glory of God, you ought to stand up and say, that's my girl, that's my girl. Amen. Oh, y'all killing me. Boy, thank him. Amen. Amen. When I first got saved, I went everywhere. I went to the Methodist church. I didn't know you weren't supposed to do that in the Methodist. I didn't know you weren't supposed to do that in the Methodist church. I went to a Methodist church. You talk about dead. Amen. To preach, y'all forgive me. One time I preached in a Methodist church. And I didn't know, but I heard Jack Hall say this. He said he didn't know till after the service. Said one of the deacons or stewards or whatever come to him and said, Mr. Hall, that was good preaching, but you drank the baptistry. You know, they sprinkle. He said, you were drinking the baptistry. I went to, they said it was a revival. I'm not knocking them. I'm just telling you how it was. I went there. You talk about dead. It was dead. And at the end of the service, I just got saved. I didn't know no better, Brother Billy. I said, preacher, could I say something? He said, well, help yourself if you need to. I mean, I could tell it shocked him. He said, if you think you need to. I said, I got saved a few weeks ago. And God has just thrilled my soul with being saved. He said, it's all right, sir. It's all right. And I just started crying. I couldn't help but cry. I said, well, you don't understand. I was all messed up. My family was all busted up. And I got saved. And I am so happy. He said, it's all right, sir. It's you know, I tell you, some of those people walking here, they wouldn't know what we're doing. We're rejoicing where God brought us from. We're praising God. Now, I'm telling you, church, that as a pastor of a church for 40-something years, if you could get a church thankful and praising God from their heart, that would answer all the problems. You might think this is very minimal to preach on this tonight. This is the key to revival. Will thou not revive us again that thy people might what? Rejoice in thee. The outcome of revival is rejoicing. Amen. Number two, not only I see be prompt, I see the person. He was a Samaritan. He was a stranger. Verse 16 says a Samaritan. Verse 18 says he was a stranger. He was alone. Nobody else was doing it. I know how that feels. Amen. I know I've probably said this before. Probably said it here. I remember when I got saved, I went to the Baptist church I grew up in. It was not real. It wasn't vocal. Only thing vocal there was the preacher, and he was half vocal. He would get up and say, could I say? And one Sunday he slipped up and said something that found lodging in my heart. And I'm telling you, Brother Ben, I didn't know amens. I didn't know hallelujahs. I didn't know praise God. I didn't know those. I knew the pool room talk, but I figured I better not use that. I think it was Brother Randy. Was it Brother Randy when Brother Samuel was preaching and Brother Randy jumped and said, let the wild hog eat. And Brother Samuel said, what? Let the wild, what is that? He don't know the language. That's all he knows. Just load the wagon. Don't worry about the mule going blind. Somebody help me. So are y'all listening? So it just popped out on me. I didn't plan. I didn't know it. He just said something, fell. I said, amen. Oh, God, brother, you talk about trouble. Man, he was knocking on my door after church. He said, man, we got some problems. I said, what's the problem? He said, man, them people are upset about you busting out that amen. Then after that, you and your wife went to the altar. He said, they are upset. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, Alfred, I'm just telling you, man, don't rock the boat. Thank God I didn't rock it. I turned it over. I got out of that thing. I got in a church like this. Best thing I ever did. That was the best amen I ever said. It got me out of that dead, dry, cold religion and got me in a church that praises God. Amen. Hey, if you don't like this, don't go to heaven. Matter of fact, it's going to be pretty loud in hell. Are y'all listening? I'm just simply saying, hey, the commonness of ungratefulness, 90% did not come back and give him thanks. Amen, amen. The character of ungratefulness. I found this to be true. A lot of people want you to pray, but they don't want you to praise. Even heathens that come to you when they're in trouble and say, would you pray for me? When I worked at Charleston Navy Shipyard, I couldn't tell you the times I'd go out to the truck, sit in the truck and read my Bible, and old heathens, I'm talking about a heart, they wouldn't talk to me in front of the whole crowd, but when they was in trouble and their wife was leaving them and they had sickness, they would come to me, I was sitting in the truck, preacher, would you pray? But they didn't want to praise. A lot of people want to ask, but they don't want to adore. Amen and amen. He not only was alone, he was an alien. He was a Samaritan. I don't have to spend a lot of time there. Samaritans and Jews didn't like each other. Can you imagine when Jesus told this Samaritan, go see the priest? He said, do what? Go see the priest. He don't like me. You know what lost people think? When they come to church, they don't think we like them. They walk into an environment, they say, now these people, that you know, they think they're goody-goodies. You've never met a crowd. I try to tell our church all the time. You have never met a crowd that knows more about themselves, that we are sorry, no good, low down. We think we're worse than sinners come in, think about themselves.
Right.
Just because we got a tie don't mean we're holy and righteous. Right. We're not holy in that. We're sinners. Amen. Saved by grace.
Yes, sir.
Don't let these suits and ties fool you. Amen and amen. We only reason we wore this because we was going before the king tonight. Mr. Trump come to town, y'all will all dress up and go see him. But we seen somebody greater tonight than Mr. Trump. We seen somebody can really help us. Somebody help me. Amen and amen. Here's my point. My point is, go see the priest. And he's the one that did it. Are y'all listening? The ones that knew more about it, the Jews, didn't go. Are y'all listening? Amen and amen. I just want people to know when they come to our church, you're welcome. I tell my church, I don't care if you come polka dot, it don't matter to me, polka dot, pink, I don't care how you come. But now when you get saved, we want to work on you. You can't scale a fish till you can't scale him till you catch him.
Amen.
Amen and amen. That's what they told Billy Kelly one time.
Yeah.
Billy Kelly was fishing for a bass, and he said, "Man, he weighed." Them. Would y'all help me? You can't clean them till you catch them. I'm simply saying, hey, nothing blesses me more than the most wicked sinner in town walks in our church. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, I'd like for the mayor to come to our church. Well, thank God we've had that. I get just excited, but an old low-down sinner living in the woods comes to our church. Amen. It's what Jesus came looking for. Amen and amen. Do we not see that? I'm just simply saying, hey, listen to me. The Bible said he was prompt. The person that was doing it was the least expected one. Man, isn't it amazing? Sometimes we kind of size people up. Amen. We kind of size them up and we think, well, this one's going to make it and this one's not going to make it. Because he cried when he got saved and this one had to show no emotion when he got saved. And I am telling you, I've seen that. This one get saved and that you never see him again. The Bible said he did it with a loud voice. Notice our text. Amen. The passion and his gratitude. He did it with a loud voice. I read where leprosy affects your voice. They say when you get leprosy, it affects your voice so you can't talk loud. That's what I read, amen. But thank God he's healed. Amen. Now he's got his voice back. Are y'all listening? Many are not used to that. Many are not used to people being vocal in church. Now, I've probably told this here. I don't know where I've told it. I don't know where I told it here. But one time Dr. Sightley come to preach for us. And I remember, you know, we were over there in St. Stephen. I probably preached in St. Stephen 10 years before I ever got an amen. Because they just want amen in people. And Dr. decided to come to our church, stood in our pulpit, walked in our pulpit. That's some of the first things he said when he stepped in that pulpit. He said, well, we're down around Charleston. Said, settled by Episcopal. Said, dead, dry, starchy religion. He said, upstate, foothills of the mountains and over in the mountains, said we were settled by a Baptist. Said we were shouting a long time before holiness people were shouting. He said, but not in this place. This is dead, dry, cold religion. And I thought, dear God, he's preaching to me just in the announcements. Because I'm wondering, why don't they shout? Like when I go upstate, they shout and praise God. Baptist shout. Nobody shouted. No Baptist shouted. I got kicked out of the church because they shouted. And Dr. Seidler made that statement. And now, thank God, 40 years later, they act like y'all. Y'all more up north than we are. Hey, you know, we're not shouting to be a show. We're shouting and praising God for what God did for us. Hey, my sin was taking me to hell. My sin was wrecking my family. My sin was destroying my children. But God came by and God rescued me. And now I got something to shout about. Amen and amen. I don't go to church to be a show. I go to church to shout. Because God has been good to me. Amen. I don't want to say anything uncouth, but I'm telling you, when I get up at night and walk to the bathroom, I lift my hands and I praise God on the way to the bathroom. When you get my age, you'd be glad to be and praise God for just making it to the bathroom. And then when I get back to the bed, I lift my hands again and praise God. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. I'm in the habit of it. Amen. I'm just saying, hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say, come up this week. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Many times we're not used to that. We're not used to that. Amen and amen. Notice this. Notice this. Notice the prostration of his gratitude. The Bible said he fell down. Verse 16. Not only was he healed and happy, he was humble. Amen. He knew he was in the presence of deity. So the Bible said when he came to Jesus, he fell down. Now this is a Samaritan. This is a man that's not a Jew. And, but when he come to Jesus and he knew he was in the presence of deity, he fell at his feet. That's what Peter did. Peter fell and said, depart from me, for I'm unclean. Hey, that's what John did with all the Patmos. He fell at his feet. That's what Paul did. You know, I looked that up today. I've heard this. I'm not correcting anybody. Well, when Paul met the Lord on the Damascus Road, that was after COVID. He Damasked him. Damascus. So y'all will get that a little. I've heard this said quite a few times, Brother Doug. I've heard when God met Paul on the Damascus Road, he fell off his horse. He wasn't riding a horse.
Right.
Bible said, I looked at three places in Acts today, he fell to the ground.
Right.
Now, that ain't got nothing to do with this message, but I did think it was interesting. Yeah. He fell off his horse. He wasn't on a horse.
Right.
Is anybody listening? What are you trying to say? I'm just simply trying to say he fell. Peter fell. John fell. Paul fell. The Samaritan fell. Amen and amen. And it's amazing the preacher wouldn't know what he was saying tonight. I about choked when he brought it up. We was having church one night, and I'm sure some of you've heard this, maybe all of you. We was having church one night, and I looked out in the back door. Here comes a very distinguished-looking couple walking in, and they came in and sat down, pretty much, maybe back seat or near the back, and they were very distinguished-looking. Really looked like either a lawyer or a doctor, very well dressed. Kids were very well dressed. All of them dressed up, and so they come and never seen them before. And that night, I had my brother-in-law, Brother William, preaching. And so we had our song service, and I called Brother William. He normally sits over there. I said, Brother William, come on now and get ready to preach. And then I looked out, and I didn't see him. And so I thought, I wonder where William went. And so I'm trying to get focused. We got visitors, distinguished-looking visitors. Not people living in the woods, but distinguished-looking. And so I'm wondering where William is. And all of a sudden, I see him. He's crawling down between the wall and the pew. He's crawling on his hands and knees. And I'm saying, my Lord, why would you want to do that tonight? Why don't you do that when we got the men out of the woods here? Not when we got all these distinguished looking people. And preacher, I'm telling y'all, I've heard this story. But he crawled to the altar. And I thought, well, he's going to get right there and pray. And then directly he crawls up on the platform like a snake, and he crawls back there to the little pew back there, and I'm thinking, man, what is he doing? And so I'm looking at the congregation, and I looked at that preacher, and I'm telling you, everybody had tears running down their face. And I said, I don't understand this, but wait, Brother William, you come on and preach. I'm sure you got an answer. So he comes in the pulpit crying. You'd have to know William. He said, all I can tell you tonight, church, is God told me I could crawl up there and have all power. or I could walk up there and have no power. And so he got up and preached, had a great service, got to the end. I went to the back door. That distinguished family visited, looking. Amen. And we do sometimes, we do let that affect us. They got to the back door and he looked at me and shook my hand. He said, "I ain't never seen nothing like this." I'm thinking, "I ain't either." He shook my hand. He said, "We'll be back." And I went down, and I think about a week later, I was down in Monk's Corner because he worked at the courthouse. I come to find out he's a probation officer. And I had to go down there to check on something. I can't remember what it was. And he comes walking down the sidewalk. Me and him run into each other. And he said, "Pastor Willis," he said, "we visited your church the other night." I said, "Yes, sir, I remember. I want to preach. I appreciate y'all coming." He said, "I ain't never been to nothing like that." He said, "We go to the Mormon church." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah, we ain't never seen nothing like that." He said, "We're coming back." So they kept coming back. They got saved.
Yeah.
Now he pastors Hanahan Baptist Church, Independent Baptist Church in Charleston.
Amen.
All because a man.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
Right.
All because a man obeyed God,
right.
Put aside all of his dignity,
man.
Did what God told him to do. Now I'm not saying you got to crawl down the aisle.
Yeah.
Here's what he said to me. Here's what he told me later. He said, the Bible said we're a worm.
Yeah. Yes,
worms don't walk.
You
can do with that what you want.
Yeah, right.
Here's all I'm trying to say. He obeyed God, and there was a couple in the service that never seen nothing like that,
right.
And it got them to coming.
Amen.
And got saved. Now he's a Baptist preacher.
Yeah. Man.
I'm just saying, now I wouldn't suggest you just crawl to the altar tonight. I'm saying, but if God told you, you better do it.
Right.
I remember Dr. Clarence Sandfield said one time he was in a meeting, and you'd have to know that doctor, he was an old mountain preacher, and I remember one time he said he was sitting in the meeting, and he had to get up to preach, and he said, God told him, said, "Take your shoes off." He said, "What?" He said, "Take your shoes off." And this is what Dr. Sandfield said. He said, "Preacher, you've seen my feet? They that long." That's exaggeration, but that long. He said, "Lord, please don't make me take my shoes off." He said, "Take your shoes off if you want power tonight." Now, I don't understand all this. Please, would y'all listen to me? He said, "God told me to take my shoes off." And he said, so I said, "Lord, I want to be obedient." So he said, I reached down and started taking my shoes off. And he said, "I got them off." I said, "Now, God, I've obeyed you. I've done what I know to do." He said, "Take your socks off." Now, I want you to understand this tonight. You got to explain everything you preach. I'm just simply saying it's obeying God.
Right.
You get in a service, we get in a service, and everybody gets sensitive to what God wants them to do. And I don't know that he's going to ever ask you to do things like that, but I'm going to tell you what, it is being sensitive to what God wants you to do. He might say, "Hey, you ought to stand up and say, hey, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Hey, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, my family's together. Thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done." I'm telling you, if we would obey God, no telling what would happen. I'm preaching to me. This Samaritan was the least likely one. He didn't know the traditions and the teachings of the Bible like these other nine. Amen. Don't tell me, "Well, I'm not edgy. I ain't got nothing to do with it." I don't care if you got a PhD, amen, and one's got just a grammar school education. It's all in what God wants you to do. Somebody help me, amen. I'm just simply saying now this man is humble. Amen. Hey, he's been humble because of his leprosy. Now he's humble because of the Lord. Amen. Notice the product of gratitude. Amen. Nine got rid of the sickness and one got rid of his sin. The Bible said God made him whole. Could I say this? His sickness is the one got him to God. The sickness is the one that got him to God so he could get rid of his leprosy. Amen and amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm simply trying to say to us tonight, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Amen and amen. That's become really a real verse to me lately. The goodness of God leads me to repent. When I think about how good God's been to me, amen and amen. Hey, I don't want to be just satisfied with a physical blessing. I want spiritual blessings. Amen. Because God is good, we thank him. Because God is great, we praise him. Because God is holy, we worship him. Amen. And why get well and go to hell? Anybody listen? Amen and amen. We ought to learn to praise God. And I know I'm preaching to a church that does that. You know, I was reading Psalm 100 not so awfully long ago, and I know these words, I don't know if I pronounce them correctly, but there's numbers of words in the Bible that talk about praise in the original language, and I don't even like to talk about that, but this is interesting. Over in Psalm 104, over in Psalm 100 and verse 4, the Bible talks about make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, as he has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. I got my Strong's Concordance out, and here's what it said. Some of these words here have meanings that we do when we worship God, such as the word Torah. Means thanksgiving choir. Barak means to kneel and give thanks. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly. I'm just telling you what I saw in my Strong's Concordance. Tehillah sounds like tequila. Tehillah means to sing and give thanks. Halal means to what? To give thanks by being clamorously foolish. That's what Strong's Concordance said. Yoda means to give thanks with extended hands. I've seen some of y'all doing that this week. The word Zamar means to give thanks with musical instruments. When you get to Psalm 100, he says enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That word thanksgiving there is the word Tola that we just said. It means to give thanks with a choir. Then he said what? Unto him and come into his courts with praise. That's the word Tehillah. It means to sing a song. Praise means to sing a song. Be thankful. The word Yoda means to extend your hand. So in that one psalm, about four of these words is used in one verse. Then he said, and bless the Lord. That means Barak. That means to bow and give him praise. Hey, it's something about worship, amen, that if we come to worship God and give God thanks, the Bible said what? The Bible said he inhabiteth the praises of his children. You know what? You know what draw God to a service? And we just start praising him. I believe that. Amen. I'm not talking about something worked up. I'm just simply saying God loves praise. Matter of fact, we're going to do a lot of that when we get to heaven. So I want to get warmed up. Some of you will get to heaven for the first time in your life. You're going to say amen. And I'm going to call him. It's Life Baptist Church. I'm going to call him down. I'm going to say, God, they never said that in Life Baptist Church. Sit them down. And then what you talk about way out, some over there in heaven, you going to get so raptured, you going to say, hallelujah. I'm going to say, oh, God, that got them right there.
Right. Yeah.
Right. We better learn it.
Amen.
I know this sounds real light, real light. I'm not preaching it to be light. I'm preaching it. The Bible said a result of revival is God's people will rejoice. There's nothing deader than a dead church. Now, that's not something we can pump up and prime up, but I'm talking about, hey, having liberty, God having liberty in our lives to thank him, to praise him, to exalt him, amen, to lift our hands, amen. Man, I tell you, you go to the average church today in the low country and lift your hand, they'd think you were charismatic. By the way, if they can do it and can lose it, I ought to raise my hand because I can't lose it. Somebody help me. I'd be scared to raise my hand if I could lose it. But because I can't lose it, I can raise my hand and say, praise his name. Praise his name. For I know it's all, I will always be saved. Isn't that amazing? Is anybody listening? Hopefully you don't take this lightly. Amen and amen. We ought to be thankful. Years ago, we still go to the nursing home, but years ago, me and Marcy used to go on Wednesday. Every Wednesday, she'd play the piano, and I'd go around there, and we'd sing, and I'd preach. And one service on a Wednesday, we were singing, in our nursing home, there's a lot of black brothers and sisters. And so, man, they helped me worship. Are you listening? Do you know Dietrich Bonhoeffer? You've heard that name, a German. You know what I read about him? I've been preaching on him not so long ago. You know where he really learned to appreciate church? He went to the black churches in Harlem.
Yeah, that'll do it. Amen.
He said he learned about worship when he come to the United States. that he went to Harlem and he went to the black churches and he saw how they worship. And he said, we didn't do that in Germany. I was reading a story about him. I said, man, listen to that. You know what? White people, black people, red people. Hey, it don't matter what color you are. We ought to learn to worship God. We ought to learn to express our praise to God. This thing of going to church and as quiet as a mouse. We ought to be worshiping God. Amen and amen. I know I'm preaching to a church that does that. But I was preaching in the nursing home. A lot of black residents in the nursing home. And I was preaching around there one Wednesday. And I, you know, called it a big way. It was a big way for me. I thought I got in a big way preaching. And I busted out and started saying, I got shoes on my feet. I got plenty to eat. And man, I was getting with it. And man, them black folks were bringing them. Bring it on, Rev. Amen. And so while I was singing, hey, I looked down and I was preaching somewhere and somebody had given me a pair of, what's them shoes, Allen Edmondson? Anyway, they cost about $250. You can be sure I wasn't buying them. But I was preaching and a man in the church came to me and said, preacher, I heard you say something about your shoes. He said, I want to buy you a pair of shoes. I said, no, man, I don't want no shoes. He said, no, I'm going to buy you a pair. I said, no, I don't want. He said, you're going to get the shoes. So he said, they don't have the right color, so I'm going to order them. I said, brother, don't do that. He said, no. So y'all got the point. I told him not to. Three times. Four times, I'll take them. $250. $250 shoes? And when they come, I'm like, Mom, I got to tell the whole story. When they come, they were the wrong color. So I called him up and I said, brother, the shoes have come and thank you for them. He said, how you like them, preacher? Everything's fine. Well, I knew I would see him probably in the air. I was going back. I said, well, brother, it don't matter. I said, but it's not the color. He said, it's not the right color. I said, no, but that is no problem. $250 shoes. I don't care if they pink. Amen. So, he said, I'm going to get you another pair. I said, no, brother, don't do that now. He said, it'll be coming in the mail. So I got me two pair of $250 shoes. How much is that? $250. That's $500. I got $500 worth of shoes. And I'm around at the nursing home. I got shoes on my feet. And I looked down and I had them $250 shoes on. I said, oh, God, $250 shoes. And boy, I'm telling them black boys, ah, glory. They went crazy. They went crazy. And I looked out and I was preaching to people who didn't have feet. I wanted to crawl up under the pew. Literally looked at people who didn't have feet, didn't have legs. And I'm bragging on my $250 shoes. We got so much to thank. Are you listening? We got so much to thank him. And I know sometimes in life, I know Ms. Avery and the girls are here. And sometimes in life, me and my wife said, things happen I don't understand. I think I preached a message here last year, faith don't always deliver you. But those people that didn't get delivered is in the same chapter of the people that did get delivered. There's a delivered crowd in chapter 11. There's an undelivered crowd in chapter 11. And both of them's in the Faith Hall of Fame. Somebody help me. Faith don't always deliver you. But God's always faithful. Now that's easy for me to say. I'm not sitting where they're sitting tonight, but I hope when I get there, I can say, God is always faithful. Somebody help me. Preaching, I was preaching for John Kinsey as I'm through. I was preaching for John Kinsey years ago. That's when his wife had cancer, Sister Linda. And I was preaching at John Kinsey's. And I preached a message and I give an invitation. And everybody had their heads bowed and some people was going to the altar. And all of a sudden, I heard this. I heard going. And I looked up and it was Sister Linda. And she had had sugar diabetes and they'd cut her foot off. They cut her toes off. They cut her foot off. And then they had to end up cutting her leg off. And she couldn't get to the altar by walking. But she was coming down to the altar on one leg. Hopping to go to the altar. And I thought to myself, the church is full of people got two legs and they're not moving.
And here comes a woman that's got one leg hopping to the altar. I'm going to tell you tonight, but God's been good to us. We better thank him. We better praise him. Everything in life I don't understand, amen. But I do know this, God is a good God.
Amen.
And we got to trust him.
Amen.
And we got to praise him.
Yes,
sir. Let's stand. Let's pray. Amen. Father, I hope we wouldn't take this message as, Lord, lightly. I hope we'd be a people that learn to praise you and thank you. You have been so good. You deliver us from sin and sorrow and shame. Lord, I want to thank you tonight. God, just the fact that, Lord, I'm still living and alive and blessed, I couldn't thank you enough. I don't thank you enough, but I sure want to begin to thank you more for all that you've done for us. Please help us. Please take this message, God, and, Lord, apply it to my heart and the heart of us together here tonight. Now, I pray your will be done in this service. I pray you bless the invitation and musicians come. And, Lord, wherever, whichever way the invitation goes with the pastor, I pray you to honor what's been said and done in this service tonight. Help us to be a grateful and a thankful people. Lord, we see that's a mark of the last day. Romans chapter 1, they were unthankful. And look what it led to. Help us now as I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're here tonight, maybe you're not even settled and sure that you're saved.